Hello, welcome, line one. I'm getting both of the lines open now and flowing, so let me get things set up. All right, welcome everybody. So excited to have you on today. I'm going to go ahead and mute all of you so you don't have to worry about any background noise. So both lines are muted. Let's go ahead and head over to the chat in the Facebook group. And I know it's a couple minutes early. We're going to make sure we start, give everyone time to get on. But let's go ahead and get into the Facebook group because that's where we're going to be using our chat. And I have one more document to upload for all of you. So I'm adding a document here to the files section. And then we'll be ready to go right on time. Okay, I'm adding a document right now that's called 6 points of sale. I'm using the hashtag so you can find it easily, and then we should all be good to go for our training here. Make sure, we got 3 minutes to go. All right, 3 minutes to go before we officially jumpstart this party, so feel free to chat with each other. Feel free to say hello. Let us know that you're here, and I'm going to explain the hashtags and everything when we get started. Okay, hashtag sales mastery resources has a typo. That's what happens when you're not a very good speller. Okay, let me see if I can fix that. See if I even realize what I messed up there. Okay, Jacqueline, how am I supposed to sell that? Sales mastery resources should be a C. Gotcha. I was at a spelling bee for my son last week, and this girl spelled the word wrong, and in my mind I was like, oh, she got that one. And then all of a sudden they said it was wrong, and I was like, that's why I never won any spelling bees when I was a kid. So forgive my spelling. All right, I think we are pretty close here to get started. So go ahead and just say hello, everybody. We're excited to have you. Sherry, it's exciting to see you here. Tara Howard, welcome. Jacqueline, welcome. Excited to have you on with us as well. And it was really fun watching all of you make progress with your homework from last time. Some of you had some very profound experiences, and I'm proud of you for taking that leap and being willing to stretch yourself and look beyond your current limitations in order to find where your greatness is and where you can create the most amazing results and be really, truly of the highest level of service. Gabrielle, welcome. Excited you're here. Pam, welcome. Jill, welcome. Can't start this party without Jill. She's the hostess with the mostest, so got to have her on. And Sonia, welcome. Excited that you're here. So I think, according to my clock, it is time. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And the first thing, as we launch week two's call, first thing I want to go through is last week you guys knocked me, or 2 weeks ago, you kind of knocked me off my socks. I was so impressed with how engaged you were. I was so impressed with your level of effort and turnout. And I was not anticipating the flow of communication, so I was a little confused. So we have a great new system we are going to be using hashtags, and that's how I will be able to see what you're saying. So hashtag sales mastery in the group, that's just a general hashtag for anything relating to this program. So if we're making an announcement or we're doing a reminder or you're asking a question like when is the next class, anything related to this class, just use hashtag sales mastery. If you have a question for me, do hashtag question for Amy, and I'll be able to look that up and see. If I'm asking a question, because I really like to do interactive learning experiences, if I ask a question, just do hashtag shout out, and that's how I'll be able to see all of the people that are answering that question. Sales mastery homework, each week when I post the homework, I will use that hashtag. So if you're ever wondering, oh, where do I find the homework, just look for that hashtag. And then we'll also use sales mastery resources, which is now spelled correctly, thanks to Jacqueline. So sales mastery resources, like last week when I posted some reading materials that could help you with your relationship with money, that's definitely something that I will do from time to time if I've got a great resource for you. And then breakthroughs. So when you are having breakthroughs during this program, I want you to tell us about them and share. Not only is it going to give you accountability and additional support, but I think sometimes it's important that you claim your breakthroughs. We as humans have this tendency to put parameters around growth, and it's like, well, it was growth, but it wasn't as cool as so-and-so's growth. You guys, growth is growth. And if you simply did a little bit better every day than you did the day before, you would be absolutely unstoppable. So I want you to go ahead and use those to help us with the flow of communication. So my first question for all of you is, who had a hashtag breakthrough last week? If you had a breakthrough in doing your homework, I want you to go ahead and share that on the group right now. And let us know. Maybe it was something like, I just felt less stressed about money this week. Or maybe it was, I had a conversation with a potential builder and I felt so much more confident about asking her to purchase a kit. Or maybe it was, I had a big breakthrough in understanding that my relationship with my husband is strained because of how I feel about money. Whatever your breakthrough is, I'd love for you to get a chance to share so that we can celebrate with you. So go ahead, hashtag breakthrough. Let us know how you're doing with the money mindset piece. Now, money mindset is definitely not something that goes away. It's kind of like a shower. I always think it's funny when I talk to people and they tell me things like, I tried that once and it worked for a while, but then I just went right back to where I was. I'm like, well, that's because it's like a shower. You know, you have to be continuously working on your mindset, continuously working on your personal growth, continuously building who you are as an individual and as a leader. And the minute your thinking gets stagnant, your growth becomes stagnant. So we really want to make sure that we are constantly in that flow of filling our minds with great things and empowered thinking. I think I shared this last week, but if not, I'll tell you it again. Scarcity mindset is one of the fastest killers of a sales business. You're in the business of sales. You know, it's a people business and it's a product-driven business, but nothing happens if people don't actually have the oils in their homes, and unless you're a bazillionaire, you can't afford to fund the entire world's oils, I'm guessing. So you're in the sales business. And if you have scarcity mindset, that can literally just tank your sales so quickly. So we don't want to go there. We've got to make sure that each week we're not just trying to maintain status quo, but trying to be even more abundant. I was just talking with a couple of clients of mine, and they were sharing with me that their son, they said, how did they describe it? That he is a ridiculous optimist. He just assumes everything's going to be great and everything's going to work out with him. And I was like, maybe he's just an amazing creator. Maybe that's his gift, is that he has the ability to just create things and always think in abundance. And I would love, even if we weren't born that way, I wasn't born that way, but I would love if we could all get to that point. So right now I want you to do a hashtag shout out and let me know if you are, I want you to write in, I am an abundant thinker. I am committed to abundance. Hashtag shout out, I am an abundant thinker. I am committed to abundance. Because it's just going to get better and better with time, you guys. All right, so I'm looking for who my hashtag abundance thinkers are. So hashtag shout out. I'm doing a quick search. I love this. It's so much more efficient. Now I can see who are my shout out people here. You guys are posting. It's all coming through. I'm giving you a chance to catch up here. Okay, Jill, I don't think any of us are surprised by this. She is so committed to abundance. I love that. Eileen, I'm so excited that you had a breakthrough this week. It looks like a lot of you did. Erin is an abundant thinker. Great job, Erin. Let's see. Laura Deesnan. Laura Deesnan is an abundant thinker committed to abundance. I love it. Christy, so proud of you. Sonia, proud of you. Joanna, you guys, I love this. This is really exciting that we're committing to being abundant thinkers over the long haul. Now, here's where we're going to transition into sales skills. We've got to have the mindset piece in place because it's what sets us up for success in our sales skills. You can have the perfect scripts. You can have the perfect strategies. You can know exactly how to move people through, and if your mindset is stuck in scarcity or lack or you are uncomfortable having money conversations, then we literally repel the good business that's coming our way. We do. I've watched people do it. Like, I have watched people be right at the point where everybody was getting ready to come and sign up with them, and then they, like, let their guard down and all their money stuff showed up, and I've watched people, like, stop walking to go to purchase or sit back down or put their checkbooks away. I mean, it's so tangible, the difference that it makes. So we are moving into our sales skills. The first thing that we're going to discuss today is we've got to define what it means to be in sales for us. And I'm going to share with you my definition, how I've created my sales experience, because we do each create our sales experience. So my experience with sales is that sales is the door that opens to allow me to be able to provide service for my clients. I love sales. My clients love the sales experience with me. They frequently thank me for the conversation that we just had, for the sales conversation. My clients value being sold to by me. My clients are excited by the services that I have to offer, and I make a huge difference when I work with my clients. That's my sales experience. That's what I've created to be. Just before this call, I got off with a client who's just been ending their year-long contract with me, and she said, "Thank you for changing our lives." So that's been in my vision long before it was created. In the beginning, when I started creating my definition of sales, I still truthfully felt like I was bugging people. I don't feel that anymore. I never think I'm bugging people. I think I'm offering them the most amazing opportunity in the world. But back then, when I started telling myself that, I still felt like I was bugging people. I worried that they were just saying yes because they felt bad for me. I worried, you know, I had a lot of worries. But where it started, where that shift began, was really when I created my definition of what it meant to be in sales. So for me, sales is that open door to the service that we want to provide over the long haul. I want to change people's lives. I want to be able to help them build the business that supports them living their dreams. That's what I want. And the sales conversation is where we open up that door and we see, are we going to go on this journey together? So this is going to be the first part of your homework, is I want you to write your sales definition. What does it mean to be in sales? I want to talk a little bit about where we get off track with service-oriented sales, because I am pro service-oriented sales. I think if you show up and you truly have a desire to serve, you know, oftentimes before I get on a sales conversation, I pray over those conversations. I ask for wisdom. I ask that I'll be able to show up in a selfless way that really hears what they need and doesn't have my own prerogative. So I think that you can absolutely show up in service. Where we get off track is when we separate the service and the sale. And write that down. Write that down. Where we get off track is when we separate the service and the sale, and we act like they are independent of each other, that the service is one thing and the sale is an entirely different entity. They are one and the same. The service is the sale. How many of you, let's do another shout out here, shout out if you have ever had an oil experience that really improved your life. I want you to just shout out and say, oils have improved my life. Hashtag shout out, oils have improved my life. If they have truly improved your life, then you are somebody sold to you and it did you a service, right? Somebody at some point said, okay, I'm going to offer this person and let them purchase these oils, and that's how it made impact. We just had an experience in the last month where one of my family members was really struggling with depression. And after like 4 or 5 months, we got the right oil combination figured out and everything's back on track. And it's been wonderful to be able to see, well, guess what? Heather Wade sold me those bottles, right? She sold them to me. I paid her for them. She ran my credit card. She probably charged me for shipping. I don't know, but she sent them to me. And I was happy to pay for them. And that is where it's when service and sales are combined that we get to change lives. If we look at it and we say, well, my service is when I share the oils. Oh, and then there's this other thing called sales. Then we're really not providing the ultimate service. Okay, and I love that you guys are having these experiences. You know that your oils can improve lives. They can make a difference. And so we're going to keep those two together. Sales and service go hand in hand. In fact, I would recommend that all of you create some sort of a declaration or an affirmation that really solidifies that idea that sales and service go hand in hand. In our minds, they've got to be together. Okay, is anybody struggling with that? If anybody is having, like, and just trust me when I tell you this, I don't mind you saying, I'm struggling with this, Amy. So if anybody has any questions and they want to ask right now, just write hashtag question for Amy and let me know if you're struggling with this at all or if you want clarification, because it's pretty essential that we understand that the service and the sale happen simultaneously. Now, I will say this. It doesn't mean every person buys. Right? I don't have control over whether or not every person buys. In fact, last week I had 4 sales conversations. 3 of them purchased, 1 of them did not. But I still did my part, which was to show up and serve and to offer the opportunity for them to buy in a way that was clear and concise. And they may still buy, but it's probably going to be a couple months from now. So their choice was whether or not to buy. That's not my choice. My responsibility is to make sure that I offer and serve in the same space. I was just getting on one of my clients' case this morning about he was telling me about this lead he was so excited about, and he's like, yeah, I went over and we hung out. I'm like, why are you hanging out? He's like, well, I just wanted to get to know him, kind of become friends first. I'm like, no, that's not where you help his business. He has friends. Where you help his business is when you offer your service. You go set up a sales call. And so I want you guys to really be serious about that. Think that through. Okay, so I'm just checking to see if there's any questions for me here. I'm not seeing them. Oh, yes, there is. Okay, I have service, but I'm so uncomfortable when it comes to the money part. Okay, so Jennifer, there's 2 things that I want you to work on. One is continue to work on your money mindset. The second thing is I'm going to have you play a game this week. Games are fun, but when I tell you that you're going to play a game, just expect that it's going to be fun, but it's going to be that kind of outside your comfort zone fun. So here's the game. I want you to practice asking people for money all week long. Every time you are around people, I just want you to say, like, hey, do you have a quarter? Or do you have a dime? Or can I by chance get a penny from you? Or could I borrow a dollar? I want you to practice asking for money and understanding that people are actually pretty open about exchanging money. We like to spend money. We really do. So practice. Start asking for sums of money. And if you've got to start with a penny, you start with a penny. Get comfortable with a penny and work your way up. But it does take practice to become comfortable asking for money. The other thing that I want you to focus on is how do you feel when money goes out? When you send money off, do you feel grateful that you've been able to pay for the services or the goods that you're paying for? Or do you feel fearful and resentful? Because that will affect it as well. So there's some tips for you, Jennifer. Okay, so Tara, I struggle with hosting parties, and I had one where I invited 51 people and no one came except for my mother. We love mothers. So I feel like a failure. What's a good way to help? Tara, I'm going to guess that your strategy for hosting parties was it was not where it needed to be, and I can definitely touch on how to get people to come to parties. And what's the best way to do that? So it probably was just a skill. And I think it's really important that we separate our skill level from our personal value. I am not good at everything, but I am not a failure. And you may not be good yet at knowing how to get people to your parties. Maybe you don't have a good script. Maybe you need a new script. Maybe you need to understand coaching. Maybe you need to work with hostesses. Those are all skills, but none of that has to do with whether or not you're a success or a failure. And I'll tell you what I do when I have those days where I'm feeling like a failure. I actually go and hang out with my 4-year-old intentionally because my 4-year-old thinks that he's still at that age. He's the baby, too. He just thinks that the sun rises and sets with me. I am the best in the whole wide world. And he tells me all the time, he goes, you're my bestest mom in the whole wide world that I never had, except that I do, he does have me, but it's cute. And so I spend time when I'm in that moment where I'm starting to doubt my value, I go to the place where people love my value and I remind myself that I am valuable. So separate the skills, and we can definitely talk about those skills. Okay. All right. Those are the questions that I'm seeing. Let me just check again and see if there's any new ones that came in. And then we're going to go into our 6 places that we closed the sale for today. Okay, I posted in a document that is in your files, and it is called the – I also tagged it with hashtag Sales Mastery Resource, I believe – and hashtag Sales Mastery. So it's called 6 Points of Sale at a Class. And I want all of you to open that up, and we're going to go through this. Here's where I'm going to start. I want you to understand that when you're talking with people, that they have very busy minds. Okay, there's a lot going on. So they show up at your class, and probably there was a child crying that they didn't want them to leave. Probably there was a spouse who was a little like, oh, you're going, okay, are you going to be back in time to put the kids to bed? And you're like, no, you're a parent too. You can do that. Probably they're wondering what the experience is going to be like. Maybe they're actually concerned about, they actually have health concerns that are weighing on their mind. Maybe they got yelled at work that day. But I want you to understand that people are very full right now. Like our minds are full, our emotions are full, and it's just getting more intense as time goes on. And it's different than it was in the past, but people are very mentally consumed right now. How many of you have ever had that experience where you feel like your mind feels like a ping pong ball and it's just bouncing back and forth from one thing to the next? And you're like, oh my gosh, can I just focus? Well, that's how your clients feel as well. So when your clients come to a class, you're trying to pour in all of your information, and it's an already full mind. So understand that if you don't structure this correctly, that what happens is it's like you, if my cup is full and you go to pour water into it, everything just spills over the edges. So they're not necessarily absorbing what you're trying to give to them. They're not necessarily comprehending. It's not sinking in. And so we're going to work on getting structure in place. And the structure is there because it's what allows people to be able to clear their mind enough that your information can sink in and that they can be ready to make a decision. And that's what we want. We want them to be ready to make a decision. In my experience with sales, I have learned that if we are afraid of getting the no, we are actually too timid to get the yes. Write that down. When we're afraid of getting a no, we are too timid to get a yes. And so we end up without either one. We don't have no's and we don't have yeses. And how many of you can relate to that? That you have a lot of people who are kind of sitting there in the works, that they've said things like, well, ask me in a couple months, or it sounds really great, maybe at my next paycheck, or they just keep hanging out. It's like they're just sitting there. I want you to go ahead and do hashtag shout out if you have that. Just hashtag shout out, what do we want to say? I have people sitting around. We'll do that. Hashtag shout out, I have people sitting around. Because what happens is you have not been clear enough to take them to the point of decision. I will be honest with you, I don't have a lot of people that are hanging out in the mix. I have people who say yes, and I have people who say no. I have more people say no than I have say yes, but I still have really great sales. Does that make sense? I have really great sales. It's not because the majority of the people say yes, it's because the right ones say yes. We want the right ones to say yes. So when we cover this 6 points for closing the sale, I wanted to share with you what we're doing here. These are helping them to be able to make a decision. When they do this, they're going to be prepared to make a decision. And this is the process that it's going to go through. There's a term that we use in sales that is called seeding. And what seeding is it's basically, if you think about it, it's gardening. You plant a seed, and then you water the seed, you nurture the plant, and then it grows, and then you harvest. And our minds need to be able to do this as well. Have you ever had people ask you something, and you're like, I just need to, let me percolate on that, let me think on that. So if you are not planting the seed of the sale at the beginning, then what happens is you ask them to make a decision at the end, and they feel like that's the seed. Does that make sense? You're like, here's the kits. And they're like, okay, there's a seed that just got planted of these kits. That is interesting. I definitely want to think about this. And then you're doing your harvest and nurture process, or your nurture and harvest process after the class, which means that you have a whole lot less connection with them, and it means it takes a whole lot more time. Is this making sense to you guys? If it's making sense, just put hashtag shout out, totally making sense. I want to know if you guys are experiencing this and seeing the difference, because what we're going to move to is planting the seed before the class, nurturing the seed through the class, so we can harvest the seed at the class or harvest the plant. That's what we're really wanting to do. Okay, so Jamie's a little bit confused. So let me kind of try to explain it again. So Jamie, if you're in your class, and what you're doing is you're just educating on the product and you're just showing them the product, you haven't planted the seed in their mind yet that they're actually going to be buying the product. So what you're doing is you're educating them on the product, and then you get to the end and you show them the product, and that's the first time that they have considered buying the product, and they're not ready yet to make a decision. So what we're going to do is we're going to layer the seeds that we plant and start talking about ordering before the class. And that way, at the end of the class, they've heard about this 6 times already. We've already had 6 different places, and they're like, yeah, I do want to purchase these. They're ready to go. They've been nurtured better. So thank you for saying that you needed some clarification there. I am happy to give it. So let's go through where are the 6 places the 6 points of sale for a class. So the first is when you are coaching the class. And I am a big proponent of hostess classes. So this is going to answer a little bit the question that we had a minute ago about inviting a lot of people to the class. When you invite, let's say that you know 25 people. If you invite all 25 of them to your house, first of all, you're probably doing it in a pretty informal way. You're probably sending out text messages or emails or invitations. If I get an invitation or a text message or an email, I honestly immediately discount it because I'm really busy, got a lot going on, and I feel like if they've invited me in that way, they've probably invited the whole world, and I don't go. If they call me and say, Amy, I'm having this class at my house, and I really want you to come, then I usually do go, actually. I don't tell people that very often because I don't want to get over-invited to stuff, but if I get a personal invitation, I usually do go. And so it's because there's a hostess who has invited me. So if you have 25 people and you casually invite all of them, first of all, very few of them are going to have a strong enough commitment to show up. And secondly, you just blew through all your contacts in one night. What you want to do instead is have a really strong booking script where you invite one person to be a hostess for you. Now, that one person is going to invite their 10 friends, and you're going to give them a script as well, and out of that, you'll get 5 people there. And your hostess is the one that's responsible for filling that room. So your job is to find the hostess. Your hostess' job is to fill the class, and you partner together to make this successful. So my first point of sale, and you guys, I'm happy to share with you some sample scripts that I give to my clients. I'll go ahead and post those in the group later today so you can see them. But when I have my clients working with hostesses, they coach the class. And so what that means is they're communicating with the hostess before the class happens. So from when they schedule until when the class happens, they're working with their hostess. And so what they're going to do is they're going to say during that coaching process, at some point they'll say, I am so excited for you and your friends to start using the oils. Did you notice that I didn't say try the oils? I said to start using the oils. I love them because, tell them why you love them, and to say, I know you're going to love them too. We are going to have so much fun at this class. So here's where I'm seeding. I planted the seed of using the oils. I planted the seed of why I love them, and I planted the seed that they're going to love them too. So from the very get-go, I'm being clear that I want them using the oils, not just sampling, not just testing. Okay, if you have any questions right here, just write in questions for Amy, and I'll check them out. I'm going to keep moving, but I will check in for questions here pretty soon, but I don't want you to forget them. So write in what your questions are. The second place that I seed is my second point of sale is before the guests arrive. So you always end up getting there a little bit early because you're at the hostess's house, you're getting things set up, and what I do is before the guests arrive, I say, I love sharing the oils with new people. It's so exciting to be a part of their wellness transformation. I find at every class there are people who are interested in using the products, and there are people who are interested in sharing the products. Who's coming tonight that would be good at doing what I do? How about you? And just open up the conversation because they'll point you in the direction of your new team member. So they'll be like, oh, so-and-so knows everybody, and she is really good at stuff like this. She is just a great organizer. And then when you say, how about you, what happens is usually they get a little shy, and they're like, oh, I don't know. I mean, you're so good at it. I don't know if I'd ever be blah, blah, blah. And I just say, well, you know what? Just watch what I do tonight, and if you have any questions afterwards, let me know because I would love to work with you. Because here's the thing, you guys. Your hostess is your best bet for your newest team member. They've already shown you that they have the ability to get a class together. And isn't that where it all starts? So your hostess is a good prospect for a new team member. So we want to just ask that question. Who's coming tonight that would be good at doing what I do? How about you? And then see where that conversation goes. The third point of sale is at the beginning of the class. And that's where we're going to seed the opportunity. And there's a game that we play, that I play. This is how I do it. Now, you don't have to do it the way that I do it, but this is how I've always done this. So when I come into the class and we welcome everybody, we thank the hostess, we, you know, introduce, we talk about, here's what I'm going to teach you tonight, and I give them the benefits of why they should be here, why it's going to be great for them, and then I just play a little game, and I say, now, at every class that I teach, there's always two types of people. There's people who are really interested in getting healthy themselves, but then there's always a couple people who come because they're kind of curious about this as a business. So we're going to play a quick little game, and I'm going to give you a chance to win some prizes here. So here's the top six reasons why people love doing business with, having a business with doTERRA. One of them, so you can go ahead and write these down, and then in a minute, I'm going to let you ask me questions, and I'll give you a ticket for each one that you ask, and the person with the most tickets is going to win a prize. So number one, we have great earning potential, so you can write that down. Number two, our discounts on the products. Number three, the culture of our company. Number four, there's no glass ceiling. Number five, prizes and recognition. Number six, we have some of the best training and support that is out there. We have a truly amazing company to work for. So those are my things. We're only going to take a couple minutes here, but I want to see who's competitive, who wants to win tonight. So I'm giving away this bottle of orange, wild orange, or whatever you want to do. And the person with the most tickets is going to win. So let's go ahead. First person to ask a question gets three tickets. And then you just simply let them ask you questions. And after a couple minutes, you cut it off and you say, great, thanks for playing, you guys. If any of you have questions about that, you're welcome to ask me at the end because I do have openings on my team and we're growing really fast. We've got great things going on. And then you just move straight into your info. So it's not long. It's not drawn out. It's not intense. It should be fun, but you do want to seed for the opportunity. Okay, I'm sure we've got some questions in here, so I'm going to take a question break here, and I am searching for hashtag question for Amy. Let's check out and see what questions you guys have so far on the first three. Okay, so what I mean by no glass ceiling is that there's no end. Have you guys noticed that when the highest person reaches the top rank, they create a new one? Most companies, you get to a point where you're not really going to earn any more. That's really all you're going to earn, and that's it. And you can't just say, I want to raise. And so when we talk about a glass ceiling, it allows you to be able to never have a limit on your income. You know, my income in my business is really great, you guys. I've very blessed. I have a great income. But even for my business, I'm starting to see a cap because it's, it's just time consuming. And you get to a point where you're like, that's all the time I have to give to the business. And so then you look at it and go, okay, well, I guess that's it. This is what our growth looks like. This is as big as I want the company to get. And it could be grown more, but not with the lifestyle I want to live. So even as my own business, I don't have the upward level that you guys have in your opportunity. So you have a great opportunity there. Okay, other questions. Stephanie, I am going to give you the scripts for what I say when I invite people to classes. And then, let's see, what was the last thing I said? So I actually, Laura, just totally made up those six things. I encourage you guys to think about them and decide what you want them to be. But I do think some important things are understanding that you have a great opportunity for making money. I think time and flexibility, that's not even what I said before, but that's probably a big one, being able to have flexibility of how and when you work. There's a lot of different benefits, but really what you're doing there is you're seeding and you're telling them, these are all the great reasons why you should want to know about my business, and then they're asking you questions to build off of those. So you decide what you want them focusing on, and then you tell them what they are. I wouldn't recommend doing, like, a list of 21. You know, keep it pretty short, because you want this to be fairly light. Okay. Okay, let's see. I think I'm going to search one more time for questions, see if there's anything else. And where I do that, I do it at the beginning of the class. So it's after I've welcomed everybody, after I have thanked the hostess, after we've all introduced ourselves, and after I've told them all the great things I'm going to teach them that night, that's where I would play the game. Okay, I'm just looking if I've got any other questions here. That is what I am seeing. Just making sure. Okay, so here's a question. I feel like when I, so this is Jamie, I feel like when I offer a sale to someone I just met, they may be interested in the essential oils, but they shy away when it comes to purchasing a kit. You're right, our products change lives, but samples don't. However, how do you bridge the gap between where they're genuinely intrigued about oils and then closing the sale and scaring them off? Okay, that's a really good question. And it's going to come, actually, we're going to talk about it here in the table close. And so it's how we position, and it's this process. So what I want you to understand with sales is it's a process from start to finish. Most people don't understand that, and they think that the sale only happens at the end of the conversation. That's why they struggle with sales. This is a process. From the minute, I mean, even before the class starts, you're already in the process of selling. And so it will become more natural, and they'll be more ready to make decisions when you run it that way. So we're getting there. We're close. Okay, let's keep moving. So number four is when you're demonstrating the product, you want to use assumptive language. So that means that you're assuming the sale. So saying things like, oh, when you have this at home, you are going to use it every day. Or this is the oil you'll all be begging me for at the end of class because it is the absolute best. Or the next time you need support with respiratory issues, you're going to be able to walk to your oil stash and boom, problem solved. And so you're using assumptive language when you're using this at home, when you use this with your children. You're going to love, this will be. So all of your language as you're demonstrating the product is assuming that they're going to be using it. What happens when you do that is it helps their mind bridge the gap between where they are and where they're going to be, which is using it, because it's creating visualization. So every time I use assumptive language, it helps you create a mental picture inside of your mind that strengthens your desire to do that. So when you're all laying in bed tonight and you're remembering this training, remember that I just said that, because I just planted that seed. When you're all laying in bed tonight and you're thinking about this training, and you probably, a good percentage of you, envisioned yourself laying in bed and thinking about this training. And now when you go to bed tonight, it will be really interesting to see how many of you are laying in bed and thinking about this training, right? Because I'm planting seeds inside of your brain. Okay. My numbers got messed up. Sorry about that. Okay, on the second page, it says number one. It's really number five. So this is the table close. So the table close is where you're actually offering the product, okay? And there's four steps to the table close. So this is where you're showing the kit. Now, one thing that I want to preface this with before I go through the four steps is that a confused mind makes no decision. Their decision is to say no. So sometimes when I watch people do their table close, which is, okay, now I'm going to show you the kits, sometimes what happens is they overwhelm with too many choices. So it's like, well, we have the $21 starter kit, and we have the $99 family physicians kit, and we have the $250 home essentials kit, and we have the $550 natural solutions kit, and we have the $1,000 diamond kit, and we have the, and they're like, I don't know which one to do. How many of you have ever gone to a website and immediately were so bombarded with choices that you just simply closed down the website? You wanted to buy something, but there were so many options that you just immediately closed it down. So when we are doing the table close, we want to feature one kit. and we want to have the other ones be available for them to look at if they feel the featured kit does not fit their needs. Because what we're doing is we're simplifying the decisions. We're making it so that their decision is, do I want to use the oils, yes or no? And then, do I want this kit, yes or no? Not, do I want to use the oils, yes or no, and I'm so overwhelmed by knowing which kit I should choose. We want to really simplify that decision. So here's how the table close works. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to really clearly define the problem. What is the problem? Is the problem, and you guys, I'm going to just tell you really quick on this, I don't know compliance nearly as well as you guys do. So if I say something that's non-compliant, just go, oh, that was non-compliant. Amy just doesn't know better. It doesn't mean I'm saying you have to use these exact words. But here's what I see as the problem. I see that we are one of the wealthiest nations in the world, but our healthcare doesn't even rank in the top 40. And we spend time and money constantly trying to solve health challenges that I see, and now I'm trying to speak compliance, and I don't speak that language. So, but we spend, you know, if you have to, let's say that you have something that really could be managed at home, but you just don't know how to do it. You have to spend time and effort trying to find solutions, maybe going to the doctor, maybe waiting in a waiting room. And sometimes they send you home, and they say, there's not really anything we can do for you. But there's nothing to make you more comfortable. And so there's a problem there. There's a gap. You know, another problem is that our society is probably one of the most disconnected from feeling empowered with our health. We feel like the only way to know how to get more healthy is to find an expert instead of being the expert. That's a problem. And so this problem is going to be defined by you. The more that you get clear and speak from your heart on what you truly see the problem is, the more that that problem is going to resonate with people. I'll just give you an example, and this is a great place to share stories as well. So I'll just give you an example. So I have a nephew that passed away at age 4, and he had a lot of health challenges. He was only born with half a heart. He was born with brain defects. He had a chromosomal defect. We had very limited time with him, and we knew it from the very beginning. And he had almost no immune system. So if you had any germs at all, you could not be with him. And, you know, I have a family of 5, and so somebody always had some kind of germ that they were passing around. And I was so grateful that during that last year and a half of his life that I got introduced to oils, and I was able to keep my family well because I have some really clear, specific memories that I was able to have during that period of time just simply because my family was well. And truthfully, you cannot put a price tag on health. You just can't. There's no way to quantify it. There's no way to put a value on it. It is the most precious gift that we have, is being able to engage with our family, having the health that we need, and being able to live a really great life. That's pretty much what it's all about. So there I used a problem. I used a story to kind of define the problem, which was I had to be healthy. I had limited amount of time. I can't put a price tag on my health. And really, where else can you go to find things that legitimately boost your immunity and give you support there? So that can be another way that you can define the problem. But we want to clearly define the problem. Then we explain what the solution is. And so we share with them what we think is the solution. And so there I would say something along the lines of, you know, you've come here tonight to learn about essential oils. And let me tell you why I'm so passionate about empowering people with their health. I truly see that every home should have somebody who feels confident in being able to take care of and nurture their family in wealth or in wellness and health. I really believe that we need to be able to understand our bodies and utilize the great resources of herbs and plants that have been available since the beginning of the time that people have always used to be able to take care of their health. I really see that it's so important that we be able to remove chemicals from our everyday life, whether it's in your cleaning solutions or your toothpaste or your shampoo, but we've got so many chemicals that are being fed to us from the time that we're infants that we need to clean these out and start allowing our body to be able to function as it's meant to function. So we're not talking about products here. If you've noticed, I'm not talking about the oils. I've not said the solution is you need a natural solutions kit. The solution is what are we moving towards? Empowering healers in homes, educating people on their own health and letting them make good choices for their body, getting chemicals out and having safer options with less side effects. And this is totally non-compliant, but oh my gosh, I was watching a weight loss commercial the other day and it said side effect was suicide. I was like, well, I'd rather be chubby. No, thank you. It's crazy. So, just state the problem, state the solution. Then what we're going to do is we're going to commit them to change. Now, this part, I really want you to, like, put a star around it. This is money right here. This is so critical. What we're going to do is we're going to ask the guest to commit to their health and wellness goals. So we're going to say, now, I know all of you has different health and wellness goals, but what I want to hear from you tonight is that you are committed to reaching those goals. Maybe you've tried in the past and you started, but you stopped. How many of you will commit to me tonight that you are going to make your health and wellness a priority? Have them raise their hands and show you. Now, once they are committed to change, you are a resource for helping them change. So that moment right there, it shifts the flow of a conversation from you being the person who's trying to talk them into something they don't know that they need or want. Now, instead of that, you are the person who is going to help them reach their goals that they really want and they're really committed to. Big shift in the dynamic of this conversation happens right there. And so then we just simply say, would it be okay if I show you how doTERRA can help you meet those goals? I want to introduce you to my favorite kit. This is the most popular kit because it gives you the best value. I want to introduce you to the Natural Solutions Kit. Now, we have others. We have others that are bigger. We have others that are smaller. But this is my favorite, and here's why. And then show them what's included. Show them all the benefits. Talk them through it. And that's your table close. Okay, I'm going to check in and see if anyone has any questions right now on the table close. So go ahead and type in question for Amy. And I'm just going to check here. And then we'll go through the individual close. My page did not reload. Again, try it again. Number two attempt. Okay. Okay, I like this question. What do you say to someone who says oils is a bunch of nonsense? Nothing. I stop trying to convince people who are not interested. I don't waste my breath working with people. Because think about this. If you have to spend 3 months convincing them, why not find somebody who you can talk to and in an hour they're like excited about the oils and they love them? I do not spend time trying to convince people who think that, like if I come across someone who thinks that what I do is ridiculous and it's a big, it's a big sham or whatever, whatever, it's their thing. I don't worry about it. I don't focus on it. I just keep moving. I am really a fan of spending your time with the people who are interested in what you have to offer. And there's a lot of them out there. Okay, I'm looking for other questions here. There are so many great comments. Just making sure I'm not missing. Okay. You love my off-the-cuff wording. Will you provide some of what you just said? It's going to be in the recording, Rosemary, so you can listen back as many times as you want. You can take notes. When I am in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to actually give you some script templates that will have the structure for you there, but you're still going to want to put in your words so it sounds like you. So structure is important, but the specific wording is usually less important than just the overall structure. Okay. And Tara, I'm so glad this training is helping you. Awesome. Okay, I don't see any other questions. If I missed one, go ahead and just post it in again. In fact, they're a little bit easier to see if you put them in a different thread, because we've got like 100 and something comments in this thread. So if I missed a question, feel free to put it in its own thread. All right, let's go back to the last one here, which is the individual close. So after the table close, now you're going to meet with each guest in an individual close. And you're going to ask them just really simple script. Did you have a good time tonight? What was your favorite part of the class? If money was no object, which kit would you love to have in your home? Great, can I get you started with that tonight? And if they say yes, then you're going to sign them up. And if they say no, then you're going to overcome objections. Now, overcoming objections is also a training that is coming up. So know that that's coming. I know you don't have that info right now, but this is a great start, you guys. Too often you get done with the class and then you just kind of hang out there. And you don't. They need that time to connect with you because they will have questions. They will need to understand things. They will need somebody to sometimes even just talk it through with. Somebody just mentioned that they're having a hashtag breakthrough about not feeling guilty when they spend money. Well, guess what? Other people also feel guilty when they spend money. So they just sometimes want to bounce that off with somebody else and talk it through out loud. Even just sitting down and asking these simple questions at the end of your class will absolutely increase your closing ratio. Now, I am going to teach you more, but each week is going to build off of the other ones. So this week, we're focusing on understanding the 6 points where you close the sale. Then we're going to work on scripts, and then we're going to work on overcoming objections, and we'll work on some advanced sales skills as well. But it kind of has to go one layer at a time. It's like an onion. We're peeling the onion, getting through all the layers, except it's a nicer smelling onion that's really wonderful. So maybe it's a parfait. Okay, so those are the 6 places that you're going to focus on closing the sale at your class. So number one, when you're coaching the class, working with your hostess. Number two, before the guests arrive. Number three, at the beginning of the class. Number four, when you're demonstrating. Number five, your table close, where you're showing the kits. And number six is your individual close. So I can see that we got a couple more questions that have come through. Okay, so Aubrey asked, how many of you are committed to, I would say, how many of you are committed to making your health and wellness a priority and reaching those goals once and for all? Something along those lines. So you can choose exactly how you want to say that, but that's what I would recommend there. Okay, so Tara asked, how do you approach those enrollees who just cannot seem to move forward and reorder? Again, Tara, what I look at is, am I trying to sell to – somebody told me when I was young in business, I was just getting started, she said, it's easier to buy a new horse than it is to try to ride a dead one. And it just has always stuck in my mind that it's about finding the people who are interested. And so if I've got somebody who just is not moving and I've done my part, I'm going to let that go and I'm going to feel really at peace with that. However, I make sure that I've done my part. So, for example, am I doing customer service? Keep in mind that most of the people in your organization are customers. They're not builders. And sometimes in network marketing, we think that because they're enrolled and they're signed up, that they should be able to just manage things on their own. They're not. So I would recommend that you touch base with your customers every 2 months to see how they're doing with their products, to introduce them to new things. You can do it through email. You can do it through phone. You can do it a lot of different ways, text, Voxer. I mean, our options for communication are not the issue these days, right? So I would recommend that you look and see, am I keeping in contact with them regularly enough? Am I answering their questions? Have I provided them with the information that they need? And if so, I am not going to chase people to try to get them to do an order. I am really interested in working with people who are excited. Have I ever talked about the Charlie Brown principle with this group? I can't remember if I have, but Myron Golden taught me the Charlie Brown principle, and I think it's so great. So in when you look at Charlie Brown's world, there's this clear hierarchy of people. Like at the top, you've got the Schroeders and the Lucys, and at the bottom, you've got the Pigpens, okay? And Charlie Brown's kind of, you know, in the middle. And so what happens is you really want the Schroeders and the Lucys. They're the ones who they're your ideal client. They're going to be great leaders, great builders. They're influencers. You know, they're who you want. They're excited about the product. But we're scared to talk to them. So what we do is we talk to, you know, our best friend Linus, who walks around with his blankie all the time. And then Linus recruits Sally, and then Sally recruits somebody. And basically it gets down to Pigpen. And then you look around and you're like, why do I have all these Pigpens around? And sometimes it's because we just didn't have the confidence to go after Lucy and Schroeder. And we need to make sure that we're doing that, that we're really being proactive about not just signing up anybody who has a pulse and $35, right? We really need to be working to find the right people. Okay, question for me. When playing the ticket game about the biz and there are crickets, how do you smoothly move forward? I rarely have crickets at that point in time. In fact, I don't know that I ever have because I give 5 tickets to the first person to ask a question. So usually I get some questions, and I don't know that I ever remember a time where I had no questions. More likely, I have times where I have to move on and say, okay, you guys have so many great questions. You can ask me at the end, but we're going to go ahead and end this game because we've got a lot to cover in terms of products tonight too. Okay, Sonia, so this class is through a host or hostess, right? What is the benefit for them? So I like to incentivize my hostesses with some free product, and I know in Share Success you've got some suggestions and recommendations on how to partner with hostesses, and I'm going to actually refer you to that to go look at the hostess information inside of Share Success. And Jill, I don't know if you want to post a link in the group for that to follow up because I don't have access to all of that, but I do know that they've got some great training in there on how to partner with hostesses. Okay. And then another question, we've been using assumptive language up till now. Why are we now asking permission to show them kits? Oh, Abby, I love that question. Permission, you guys, is huge in sales because if you don't have permission and you just give them information, their brain gets to choose whether or not they accept or reject the information. And when you ask permission and they give you permission, their brain opens the door and it's like, okay, give me this information now, and they receive it. So my degree is actually in linguistics. I'm a huge nerd when it comes to language and psychology, and I love that stuff. And there's real psychology behind asking for permission. So permission is always good. In fact, I frequently ask for permission when I'm coaching and when I'm selling. It's a normal thing that you'll hear me say, would it be okay if, or can I introduce to you? And it's because that's that process of them just being able to really embrace what we've just taught them. Okay, so homework for this week, you guys. Number one homework is going to be to continue to work on your money mindset. Number two homework is that you are going to write your definition of what it means to be in service and sales. I want you to let go of any definitions that you've got of sleazy salespeople or people who just push, and they're uncomfortable. Let those go. You're creating your own definition. What do you want it to be like when you have this sales experience? And the third thing that you are going to do is I am going to challenge you to hold one class, not just schedule, hold one class between now and when we talk again so that you can practice these 6 points. Next time, we're going to be working on the script of the class and going into that a little bit more deeply. We're going to do the class script and the one-on-one script. And I want you to practice these 6 points first so that you can kind of get comfortable with it, get familiar with it. I am also going to offer a prize. Jill, you may have to help me with this just a little bit, but I'm going to offer a prize this week for a challenge. So the person who holds the most classes in between now and, you guys, we only have a week. you know what, I'm still going to do it. We still got a week. In March or February, our dates are a little bit different because I have an event that I'm doing. So we're on the 1st and the 15th. So we're speaking again next week. So I'm just going to throw it out there. The first person to hold the most, or the person to hold the most classes between now and next Wednesday is going to get an autographed copy of my book. So I'll send that to you. Thank you guys so much for being on today. We are going to be sending out the recording. I'll hang out in the chat and just answer some more questions here for a few minutes. But you guys are awesome. I'm excited for you to really embrace this job of being great at service and sales. You guys are fantastic, and we'll talk with you soon. Thanks so much.
The moderator has left the conference.